Good morning, everyone. And are you hungry? I'm a bit hungry now. So what I'm telling you is that I'm not going to keep you long, okay? We are going for lunch soon. There's a lot of food here. But I'm at the age where food is not really important now. Okay, let's turn to John chapter 13 this morning. And it'll be lesson 2, okay? In your notes, lesson 2. John chapter 13. We are not going to go through the book of John, okay? We from John chapter 4, we jump to John chapter 13. And here in John chapter 13, I would like to read from verse 12. Here the word of God say, after that he had washed their feet, he had taken his garment and was set down again. And he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. So that's how I got the title. Do as I have done. Let's pray, okay? Our Father, we thank thee once again for our Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and came to this world and took our sin upon himself and nailing it to the cross so that many of us here who call upon his name can be saved. Lord, indeed we are thankful for the perfect life, the righteous life that he has shown us. Pray the Lord that you help us to live like our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might reflect him to the people around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So John chapter 13 was a very interesting have a very interesting account here, because Jesus Christ. In fact, this is John is the only one who recorded these incidents. And you don't find that in other gospel. And so John wrote down this, how the Lord Jesus Christ washed the feet of the disciple. In John chapter 13 verse 1, the Bible tells us that these incidents took place before the feast of Passover. You can read that in John 13 verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world into the Father. So here you find that, like what he said in John 16:28, he said, I come forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. So the Lord Jesus Christ, at this moment, when before he washed the feet of the disciple, he knew very well that he was about to leave. He knew very well that his coming crucifixion. So Jesus Christ, then you go on to read verse 1, okay? Jesus, okay, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So the Lord Jesus Christ loved his disciples fervently and faithfully, the Bible tells us. And this is almost the last few days of their time together. And he could not deny himself, okay? The Bible tells us that he loved them in spite of their spiritual immaturity, you know, they are not mature. And in spite of one of them is going to betray him, being denied by one of them, you know, Peter is going to deny him 3 times, and then forsaken by all his disciples. In spite of all those things, the Bible tells Jesus Christ loved them. Jesus knew that he's going to be crucified, and he knew that this group that have been with him for almost 3 years, 2 years plus, okay, together, they know the Lord Jesus Christ for about 3 years, okay? So now here you find that Jesus knew when he will be arrested, and these people, one will deny him, one actually betray him, one deny him, and then the rest forsake him. But yet the Bible tells us that Jesus loved them. Thank God that our Lord Jesus Christ loved the disciple, and he loved us like the way he loved the disciple. Thank God, that's why we have the verse in Romans chapter 8 verse 38. to 39. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 38, the Bible says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And this is one of the comforts that we have as a believer. It doesn't matter how we fail, the Lord still loves us. What happened here in John chapter 13 is kind of interesting, okay? But for us to understand the whole context of John chapter 13, we need to go back about a month before this. 1 month before John chapter 13, okay? And you can turn to Mark chapter 10, okay? This is about a month before John chapter 13. In Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10 verse 32. Here the Bible tells us, when they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. The reason they were amazed, because they say, how come Jesus want to go to Jerusalem when everybody in Jerusalem, especially the Pharisees, were planning to kill him. So they were amazed. And then they fought anyway, as the Bible says they follow, okay? And as they follow, they were afraid. I was sure they are afraid, because now if Jesus get arrested, that means they might be arrested as well. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what should happen unto him, saying, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." So this was the third time our Lord Jesus Christ made the announcement of his coming death. You know, that's the other two times was in Mark chapter 8 verse 31 and Mark chapter 9 verse 31. So this is the third time. Jesus Christ foretold that both the Jews and the Gentiles would have a hand in his death. So he was preparing them for his death. But interestingly, in verse 35, the word of God tells us in Mark chapter 10 verse 35, James and John, the son of Zebedee, come unto him saying, "Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire." Basically what they are saying here is, say, "Master, give us a blank check." But then he say, and he say unto them, "What would ye that I should do for you?" And they say unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory." But Jesus can go on to say unto them, "Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they say unto him, "We can." And Jesus say unto them, "Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or on my left hand is not mine to give." I was so scared. I'm glad that it was not the trumpet sound. Or maybe it should be the trumpet sound, then we'll be rejoicing. Then I can stop. But anyway, where I, okay. So here you find that but to sit on my right hand, verse 40, okay, and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Of course, James and John, when they asked for the left and the right, you know, and they did not realize that a month later, when our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, the one on the left and the one on the right are thieves, okay, they'll be crucified together with the Lord. Of course, James also had to be martyred one day. And so here, then it go on in verse 41, "And when the 10 heard it," 12 of them, okay, "and the other 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased," the Bible say, "with James and John." It is very hard to imagine how James and John, two of the three apostles closest to the Lord, could be so preoccupied with their own private ambitions. You know, they at this time, when our Lord Jesus Christ was talking about his death, I mean, he said, I'm going to be betrayed, you know, I'm going to be killed, you know, and they say, let us have the two positions, left and right, you know, and they wanted to have this position. While the Lord Jesus Christ was anticipating a cross, they wanted a crown. As the Lord was preparing to give himself, they sought only to get something for themselves. It's so different. The other 10 were displeased. And then what happened here is that, I don't think this is in their heart only at this moment. I believe long, maybe after they followed the Lord Jesus Christ for a while, everybody, 12 of them, all wanted something. They in their mind, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to set up the kingdom on earth. And so, in their heart, they wanted some position. It's just that everybody is quiet about it. Nobody say anything. In their heart, oh, I hope I can sit there. No, everybody wanted it, but nobody say anything. But now it come out in the open. 2 persons asked for it. And the Bible says that the other 10 were not happy because they were not willing to be less important than James and John. In fact, in Matthew chapter 20, if you want to turn there, I'll just read for you. And we are told that James and John and their mother attempted to get Jesus to grant them a prominent place, okay, in the kingdom. In Matthew 20, verse 24, if you want to write down. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved, the Bible says, with indignation against the two brethren. I mean, this is not just displeased, this is very angry. They were almost in the fight now. Everybody won the position. So the other 10 apostles were angry at James and John. So I believe there must be a lot of harsh words and angry gesture were exchanged among the 12. Then the Bible tells us, it's very interesting, okay? These 10, 12 of them were fighting, you know, I want to be number one. Why do you call yourself number one? No, and maybe they try to say, oh, I have done this, I've done that, no, or Jesus Christ told me more, I'm closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, or whatever. Then our Lord Jesus Christ called them together in Mark chapter 10, verse 42. And Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, You know, okay, that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentile exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall ye not be among you. Jesus told them, you know how the world functions. The top sit on the top, and then lord over the rest. Ye shall not be, you are not supposed to be like that, because you are different. And then he go on to say, so ye shall not be among you, but then whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And here they mean your servant or your slave. Even to be great, you serve. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ say. And then whosoever of you will be the chiefest, even to be the number one, shall be servant of all. And then our Lord Jesus Christ make one very important statement in Mark chapter 10. In verse 45, he say, For even the Son of Man came not to be minister unto, but to minister. He came to serve, not to be served, and to give his life a ransom for many. So our Lord Jesus Christ told us here, he being the Son of God, he came to serve. He came to give. And these will be the two messages I'm going to preach. This morning, he came to serve, okay? This evening, he came to give. The parallel passage, you can read there in Matthew chapter 20 also, okay? 20, 25, 28 is the same. So you find that it seems that none would miss the point, am I right? If you are sitting and the Lord Jesus Christ just told them, no, we are not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be different. If you want to be number one, serve everybody. We will assume that they will understand this. But however, as we all know, hearing the truth and making it a part of our life are not the same thing. Even when we who are devoted to Christ, okay, you find that many times we hear it, but we don't really practice what we hear, or we don't take into heart what we have heard. And so here you find that several days later, when the apostle arrived in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, they were still quarreling over this issue. In fact, if you read Luke chapter 22, verse 24 to 47, 27, the Bible says, there was also a strife among them, which one of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the king of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority unto them are called a benefactor. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you, as he that serveth. So here you find that Jesus Christ had to correct them again on the way there. Then in John chapter 13, and you can imagine now, about a month ago, they had this quarrel. It was something that's come out in the open now. Everybody wants some type of position. So when you come to John chapter 13, quite likely, okay, Peter and John had secured the room for the Passover. But they did not make arrangement for food washing. In those days, okay, they are very different. What happened is that they wear sandals, and they don't have a attached bathroom like ours now, okay? So when you take a bath or you want to clean up yourself, you have to go outside. You know, maybe at the well or nearby river, they don't have that many rivers, so maybe somewhere, a common place. Then after that, they have to walk back home. So when you walk back home, your feet will be dirty because you're wearing sandals. And then the thing that you need to do is just like the Malay in Malaysia, okay? Then you used to be, okay, when they were in the village, then you're supposed to have a pail of water outside the house, then you clean your feet before you walk into the house. And so they're supposed to have made the arrangement for that. But yet, because everybody wanted to be number one, that one is a low, a servant's job, a slave's job, not our job, not our. And so 12 of them say, you know, this is not my job. So everybody just go right in and just take their place. And nobody volunteered to get this lowly job done. How human they were, like us. So what happened that night was they were all seated at the table with their dirty feet. I'm not very sure any one of them have a smelly feet or not, but definitely dirty. And it's interesting. Do you know the seating arrangement that day? I heard from someone. I believe quite accurate. They don't really sit down like us now, okay? So they kind of like lean in a certain way. And so this person explained, he said quite likely the seating arrangement was like that. In those days, the host, okay, if I'm the host, I'll be sitting on the second seat. So the one in front of me will be the one closer to me. And so the Bible tells that John is in the bosom of our Lord Jesus Christ, so he's the apostle John. So there is one guy behind. This is the highest seat. It's the seat of honor because it's right behind the host. Every time he serves something, he gives something, he passes to you. And this is Judas. And that's why you find that a lot talking between the Lord and Judas, the people, the rest did not know. You know, they say, oh, Jesus, I do something. And say, what the Lord, what is in your heart, you know, do thou quickly, you know. And they thought Jesus asked him to go and give some money to the poor and things like that because he was right behind. And then when Jesus did the bread and passed it to him, and he said that the one who eat with me is going to betray me and pass it to him, he will know very well that Jesus is referring to him. The rest still don't understand because they thought it's just pass around. But then this guy will know very well that he's going to betray. And he knew that the Lord knew that he's going to betray him. And then where is Peter? The rest I'm not really sure. But Peter, because our Lord Jesus Christ said, if you have to be number one, where do you go? Go to the last seat. So quite likely, Peter was on the other side. Across the table, next to opposite this John. That's why when Jesus says, so one of you going to betray me, remember? Peter said, ask him. Ask him, kind of like signal to John and ask John to ask Jesus. You know, and because he was on the other side across John. And that is quite likely the seating arrangement. But even though Peter chose the lowly seat, but he was not willing to do the lowly task. So nobody prepared water. And possibly even when they were doing that, sitting there, and they were still thinking or arguing who is going to be number one. So the meal was in process, but quite likely the conversation is not really nice. And soon they saw something very interesting. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ stood up and began to wash their feet. Our Lord Jesus Christ interrupted the supper. Then in verse 12, okay, go back to John chapter 13. So after he had washed their feet, the Lord Jesus, the word of God say, and had taken his garment, so that means he put back his garment, now he's proper again, okay. Earlier on he tore off the garment, and was set down again. And now, after he sat down again, he say unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You know, he had washed all their feet. Know ye what I have done for you? And then he go on, jump on a few verses to verse 50. I'll come back to some of these verses later. Verse 50, he say, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Now look, this is what Jesus Christ said. Of course, we are independent Baptists, okay? So we say, no food washing, okay? That's the number one thing we say, okay? We are not supper, we are baptism, no food washing, okay? Supposedly, this morning we need to wash our feet, and someone need to get the water, and someone need to wash all our feet. Who is going to volunteer? Anyone volunteer to wash all our feet? Anyone? Hey, come on. I thought you all come for camp, no? But you guys picture. Anyone volunteer to wash all our feet? Only me have my hand raised. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you a big secret. Even though I raise my hand, I will not wash your feet. Don't feel bad if you cannot raise your hand. Well, I guess the only person that I may wash her feet is my wife, okay? Or when my children, when they were young. I will not wash your feet. And I believe, honestly speaking, nobody, if I'm correct, in this group, or even in any group that I preach, will volunteer to wash everybody's feet. I know I would not, because I'm too proud to do it. I'm too far for being like my Savior, the one who died for me on the cross. So I won't do it. But the word of God say in verse 15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done. Unless you don't believe the Bible, you don't believe every word in the Bible is inspired by God, then you can take out your eraser and try to erase John 13 verse 15. But John 13 verse 15 is going to be there. It will always be there. And John 13 15 keep telling us, for our Lord Jesus Christ had given us an example that we should do as he had done. He had washed the feet of the disciple. How come most of us are not wearing? And we are talking about reflecting Christ. We are talking about reflecting Christ. And how can we reflect our Savior? Jesus had taught them a very important lesson about humility and service. Earlier on, he told them, if you want to be number one, you need to serve everybody. They listen. Okay, it's nice. The Lord said the second time, yeah, it's okay. We know what you have said. But nobody really take it to heart. And now finally, our Lord Jesus Christ showed them with an object lesson. He actually washed their feet. Can you imagine the creator of the whole universe washed the smelly, stinky feet of his creature? There is nothing in the sight of God. You are human and I'm human. Even then, we find hard to wash one another's feet. Can you imagine the creator of the whole universe? The one who spoke this world into existence, used his own hand to wash the feet of the disciple. What a remarkable example of humility and service. So our Lord is setting this example for, in fact, our Lord Jesus Christ is setting the example for what he just said, or what earlier he said in Mark chapter 10, verse 44. He said, for whosoever of you will be the chiefest, you want to be number one, shall be servant of all. So our Lord Jesus Christ did it. He is the chiefest of all, and he was the servant of all. So how can we follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ? Now we know we all have to serve like our Lord Jesus Christ, because he already showed us the example. He said, I give you the example, now you do it. And we know that no way we can erase John 13 verse 15 unless you don't believe the Bible is the whole Bible is inspired by the word of by God. So John 13 15 is required from you and me. So service in your point number one. Service involves willingness. In John 13 verse 3, the Bible tells us, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he was come from God and went to God. You know, here in fact the word of God just shows us that Jesus Christ knew who he was. He is the Creator. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is God. He knew his position. But yet in verse 4 it says, and he riseth from supper and lay aside his garment. Jesus knew who he was. But yet, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He did not eagerly hold on to his position with God, the Father in heaven. He knew that God had given him all things. Matthew 11 verse 27 say, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal. Jesus knew who he was and all that he has. But yet, as he looked down to all his disciples, the one that he created, he removed his outer garment, took a towel, wrapped around himself, and start to wash. Take a basin of water, and then wash their feet one by one. The master took upon himself the form of a servant and served the disciple who was so proud, who wanted to have position and not willing to serve, who were competing to be the greatest. But yet our Lord Jesus Christ showed his disciple what it means to be the greatest. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not let his position stop him, okay? He volunteered himself to do the job. He volunteered himself to do the lowly job. The incarnated son of God, okay, himself willingly stripped himself of his garment and washed the feet of his prideful and arrogant creatures. Despite his high calling and position, he still lowered himself to wash their feet. He was willing to humble himself. He was willing to offer himself to serve. When you look at the humility of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Savior, our Master, our Lord, are you willing to do like what He had done? Serve others. Always remember, there are no bosses in the church. In the local church, there are no bosses, not even your pastor. Your pastor is not the boss. He is a person, a gift from God to the church. Okay, if you don't believe me, study Ephesians chapter 4. Your pastor is a gift of God for the church. And his responsibility is to lead the church. He's not going to drive the flock of God or lord over God's heritage. He's going to lead by example. The deacons do not tell the church what to do. Do you know? Deacons are not the boss as well. Deacons don't tell the pastor what to do. Deacons don't tell the church what to do. In fact, it should be the other way. The church tell the deacons what they are supposed to do. Yes, Jesus told us, he's not supposed to be like the world. The way we operate in the church is not supposed to be like the world. Every member is supposed to serve one another. So now, I'm not going to ask the same question again. Who is going to wash our feet? So the first thing, you want to serve like the Lord? You have to be willing. You have to put aside your position. You know, in our church, back in Kuala Lumpur, many years ago, there was only the full-time or myself to clean the church. And after that, I find that it's not the right thing. I say, everybody's supposed to watch. Of course, we give people the willingness, they just offer themselves. So now we have about six groups. So every week, one group will come to church. And some of them are school headmaster. You will see them sweeping church floor outside the church. And everybody will know, this is the school headmaster. And some of them are accountants. And they are doctors also. When you come to church, we don't talk about position. You have to leave all your position, all your worldly recognition outside the door. Once you come here, we are all the same. You have to clean the toilet, like the pastor also clean the toilet. It doesn't matter what position you have out there. You can be a CEO, you can be a doctor, you can be an engineer. You come to a church, all same. We serve. That's what we need to learn. Be willing to serve. And forget about our position in the world. I know some of you may hold very high position in the world. But when you come to church, be willing to let that go. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Son of God. He left those things behind and He came to serve you and me. So service not only involves willingness, service involves preparation. In John chapter 13 verse 4 to 5, the Bible says, you know, he rises up, okay, and then he says, lay aside his garment and took a towel and girt himself, and after that poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet, okay. So here you find that he did all this preparation. He put all the things together. You know, he get himself ready to do the job. So you find that to serve, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to get ourselves ready. It's just like a preacher need to prepare himself in order to preach. I mean, I have not had that skill yet, okay, whereby I can just come here and take out the Bible and start preaching. Okay, I'm not able to do that. And I need to prepare. I remember one time I was asked to teach about sermon preparation and preaching. Then I was trying to make it so simple and clear to the person that I'm teaching. I say preaching is just like cooking. Okay, preaching is just like cooking. The ingredients is about the same. You know, if you cook, you want to fry some vegetable or you boil some vegetable, you get the carrot, you get the potato, you know. So we study the Bible, Pastor Parker study, I study. If you look at our understanding of the passage is about the same. It should be the same. And how we present it is different thing. Okay. Because God use him to present in a different way for the purpose of that time. And so here you find that it's just like someone spend the whole hour in the kitchen, prepare and cook a dish and serve the guest. And so sometimes you say, oh, this is very nice, you know, but inside it may be the same. The other person cook maybe not as nice, but then it's still so that's why you know that your pastor have made a lot spent a lot of time preparing the message. And all the ladies should know, if you are ladies, if you have in the past invited someone to your home and you are the one who prepare and cook, you know, one of the things that you feel the most disappointed or upset or angry is that the guest did not turn up. You spend all your time cooking, preparing, think of the recipe, and then you prepare, you cook, and then nobody or the guest did not turn up. And then you'll be very upset. Can you imagine your pastor spent all the time preparing and then he did not show up on Sunday morning? What kind of food do you like? You know, do you prefer someone just cook for you and you eat straight when it's fresh, when it's hot and warm? Do you want to eat that kind of food? Or you want to eat canned food? But most of the people love to eat canned food, you know? Especially when it comes to spiritual things now. And now people in the world, among the Christians, they like to go online and search and listen to different preaching. Those are all canned food. There's nothing wrong to once in a while eat canned food. But it's not of God. It's good for you to learn more, but then your main source of nutrition should be for your pastor. Then how about me today coming to preach? This is like one big family going to a restaurant and eat outside food. And I'm cooking for y'all. But it's live, not canned food. It is right straight from the oven. You need to prepare. So if you are a Sunday school teacher, be prepared. Don't come last minute. You know, you need to get yourself ready. If you are a choir member, make sure you practice. If you are pianist, make sure you practice. You cannot just serve without preparing. And if you want young people, those who are in their upper primary or teenager, if you are thinking of serving the Lord one day, be prepared. Start preparing yourself. Service involves preparation. You cannot just walk in and say, I'm here to serve. You know, that kind of job is kind of like not good, okay, or sometimes lousy, because you are not ready, you are not prepared. Then you find that next, service involves works. The Bible tells us that after he poured the water in the basin, and then he began to wash the disciples' feet, okay, and wipe them, the Bible said, and with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. So Simon Peter was not the first one he washed, okay. So he was washing one after another. Then finally he came to Simon Peter and say unto him, Lord, Peter say unto him, Lord, dost thou wash, verse 6 now, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answer and say unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter say unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. I mean, Peter is the very outspoken one. I mean, he was really surprised when he saw, and I think he could not stand it when the rest allowed the Lord Jesus Christ I believe the rest are kind of stunned. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. And so their feet were washed one by one, and finally came to Peter. And Peter said, "No, Lord, you are not supposed to wash my feet." And Peter felt that he's not worthy of that. So he said, and then Peter said unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, saying, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Then Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, then you have no part in me." Oh, then Simon Peter don't want that. He said unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, okay, but also my hand and my head, you know, and basically say, wash me all over, wash my whole body. You know, if that means that I'm going to have a part in you, you know, or with you, and then wash me all over." Then Jesus said to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore say he, ye are not all clean." So here basically, our Lord Jesus Christ is telling us another significance of this foot washing. And it's the idea of sin being forgiven. And then you find that if a person is saved, all your sins have been forgiven. And so you have a part in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened here is that when Jesus said, "I need to wash your feet," this is a picture that when you when you are journeying through this world, sure we will sin. And so God said that he need to wash our feet that way. You know, that's why God gave us 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. You know, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to cleanse us from all uncleanness. You know, and so here you find that that is what Jesus Christ is going to tell Peter here. But when I say service prepare involve works, he said when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are there that day, okay, that night, Jesus Christ basically he need to go from one disciple to another disciple, and you need to wash their feet, dip their feet in the water, wash it, and then wipe it clean with the towel they gird around himself. Then move on to the next one. Now that require works. It's not going to be easy. That's why I always respect those nurses who care for patients, especially the elderly. And sometimes I look at that, wow. Can you stand there, you know? They soil themselves, you know. But the nurse will go and clean up. And sometimes, some elderly people, when they are in pain, they become very difficult to handle. But nurses have the kind of patience. And that involves works. Good service for the Lord. The Bible tells us in John chapter 13, verse 5. The Bible says that Jesus wiped them, their feet, okay, with the towel wherewith he was girded. He do a talent job, not a half-hearted job. There's one father in the church always say, you know, when he asks his children to clear the dustbin, and then the son maybe reluctantly take out the garbage and just go out and throw it, you know. Then when he look at the garbage bin, if it doesn't have another new plastic bag inside, he said that is not job done. You have to do a color job. You make sure that you place another plastic there so that other people can start throwing whatever thing they want to throw inside there. Serving the Lord, if you want to serve the Lord, always remember this. You require a time, you require works, and you require a good service, a good work. You must do it. Do a good job in serving the Lord. Give your best. Our Lord Jesus showed us. He did not just spray some water on their feet and move on. He let it clean it and wipe it clean. And so here you find that service involves works. Then let me see. Okay, let me skip a few. Okay. But today, then next, okay, let's go on. Next. Service involves humility. So the purpose of this is to set an example, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us. He said, I'm giving you an example. And so basically he's saying what we always say. Never ask a man to do a job that you are not willing to do yourself. If you ask someone to clean the toilet, you must be first willing to clean the toilet. If you ask someone to serve everybody, our Lord Jesus Christ showed the disciple, he was willing to go to that level, he served everyone. Jesus knew that there was a competitive spirit in the heart of the disciple. Therefore, he gave them this unforgettable lesson. Lesson of humility, lesson of service. Foot washing, of course, we know it's not an ordinance, okay? I just want to make it clear. Don't go back to church then say, next Sunday, Pastor, we're going to start foot washing, okay? This is not one of the ordinance. It's very clear. Paul carefully taught about both the baptism and the Lord's Supper, but he did not touch on foot washing as an ordinance. Neither the other apostle, okay, or the early church practice it. So, but this passage, beside about the forgiveness of our sin, and asking God to forgive us every time when we sin, we need to understand that Jesus wants the disciple, and Jesus wants us to learn his example of humility, to how to serve others. The humility and servanthood spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ was clearly seen in the Gospel. If you study the Gospel of John, you will see throughout the Gospel of John, from John chapter 5 verse 15, the Bible says, then answered Jesus and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. Then in John 5 verse 30, he says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. John chapter 6 verse 35, I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. John chapter 7 verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but him that he is that sent me. John chapter 8 verse 50, I seek not my own glory, there is one that seeketh and judges. John chapter 14 verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my saying, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. That is humility. He is the Son of God. He is God, 100% God. But yet when he was here on earth, he showed us what it means to humble ourselves in service. Of course, the ultimate expression of his humility was his death on the cross. He took upon himself the form of a servant to save us. You know, even the Son of Man, the Bible tells in Matthew 20 verse 24, even as the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came down to this world, took upon himself our humanity, and was made in the likeness of a servant. Because he loves us. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught the disciple here in John 13. One of the very important, beside humility, okay, not just beside, actually it's about, all about humility here, is that if you want to be happy and successful in your Christian life, and to be able to reflect Christ, this is a byproduct, okay? Success and happiness is a byproduct of a life that is lived in accordance to the will of God. And not just in accordance to the will of God, but when you humbly serve others and walk in God's path of holiness and do what He tells you, then you will enjoy happiness and success. Because that's what He says in John chapter 13, verse 12. Okay, if you go there in verse 12, it says, so after he had watched, or maybe I should not read from verse 12 too early. Let's go down a little bit. Okay, we have read those in verse 12 at the end. Okay, it says, know ye what I have done to you? And then in verse 13, it says, ye call me master and Lord. Ye say, well, so I am. If I then, your master and Lord, has washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do do as I have done to you. Then in verse 16 he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, verse 17, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. You want to be happy? You want to be successful in your spiritual life? You want to reflect Christ? And this is one of the things that we need to do. Jesus came to serve. The world thinks that happiness is a result of having others serving us. Then they thought that this is great, you know, when you can be the boss, you know, you can help people do this, do that, and he serve you. But the real joy, the Bible tells us, comes when we serve others in the name of our Savior. Now, in the heart of most of people in the world, and what is important to them is to be served. And that's why we like to go to a restaurant, to be served. That's the best part. You just walk in, they cook for you, you just order, then after you eat, you just walk off. You don't even have to do anything. Used to be when we were young, we joined those, we go to church camp because we cannot afford to go to, I mean, of course your standard is much higher than ours. Our standard is not so high. But ours still considered better than 20 years ago. 20 years ago we are so poor, most of us just come up from work, and some of us are students, so we don't go to those campsites that are run by some Christian group. And so those campsites that you have to, They will put the dishes on the table, you have to, then you eat, after they eat, you have to bring all the dishes and clear the thing that you don't want and throw it in one, another plate, put it in another tray or whatever. And they did not ask us to clean, you know, but then we have to do all those things. If there's some campsite, you want to make your own bed, okay, and clear everything when you leave the last day, you know, there's a lot of work to do the last day. And now everybody, now our standards go higher. Haven't reached your standard yet. One day, when you reach your standard, that'll be great. But we haven't reached this standard yet. We're still working hard on that, okay, to reach your standard. But now we kind of enjoy, we just walk in, eat, and then we walk off, you know, we don't have to do anything. And we like to be served. Not many people like to serve. In the church, this is what is missing in the church, people who serve. The statistics show in churches, average, any church, it doesn't matter how big is the church, it doesn't matter even any denomination, almost across the board now. Yeah. 2-3% serve in the church. You tell me whether it's correct now. Who really serve? 2-3%. Who really serve, okay. That's what they say. People today like to straddle themselves on the throne and give orders. Do that, do this. They measure power that way. They measure position that way. And they like to ask, how many people were under you? But do you know what if you see the Lord Jesus Christ, meet the Lord Jesus Christ today, he will not, how many people were under you? He will say, how many people do you serve or do you work for? How many people do you serve? We need to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ in humble service. Christian life is actually a life of servanthood. A life of humility and service. It's not easy for most of us. It's just like, it's difficult for the disciple as well. But yet, this is what God wants us to do. The reason the Father put all things in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the reason, because our Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself. He knew his position. He has a position. He knew what he had. He had everything. You know, in Malaysia, we have a Malay proverb. It says that the fuller the ear of a rice grain, of grain, if the grain have the fuller, then the lower you will bear. That means you have more substance, you bend lower. Most of the time, maybe have nothing, no substance inside. You want to stand straight. Want to show off. When you have no substance, and people who have substance bend very low. Our Lord Jesus Christ show us how low He bent. To the point, He cleaned the dirty feet of His own creation. He was rich, yet became poor, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. He was the sovereign, but yet He took the place of a servant. He was Lord and Master, yet He served His follower. Are we willing to follow the example of Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus has shown us the example. Service involves willingness. He rise up from the supper. Service involves preparation. He lay aside His garment, He took a towel, He girded Himself, and so forth. Jesus showed us service involves work. He began, the Bible says, to wash the disciples' feet. That means one by one, He go in circle to wash their feet. Service involves, require humility. In fact, He kneeled. You know, do you see, when our Lord Jesus Christ washed the feet of the disciple, He actually kneeled before the disciple. I cannot imagine. I was not there. But if I were there, most likely I would be like the disciple. But now knowing the Bible, it can't fathom having the Creator, the one who created the whole universe, wash your feet. May this be our prayer, Lord. You wash their feet. You wash away my sin. I will serve You, and I will serve the church.